Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you today?
I am. How are you?
Fantastic. Wow. Really impressed with your part 10. Well, you're definitely not pulling any punches, and you're calling it like you sees it.
Hey, we got the new bull zone working, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely working today. There's no bull in your article. You didn't hold anything back. I do actually have one question, though. I'm puzzled by one of the statements that you made in it. I was hoping that you could shed a little bit of light on there. At the very top of the article, you quote Jesus saying, "The new commandments I give you, the two commandments he gave." I don't know if he said new, but nonetheless, it's probably not relevant. But right after that, the very next sentence says, "Of course." He leveled the playing field by explaining that the most hated race of people, from the standpoint of your culture, is your neighbor. And I don't understand that. How did he do that? Or it's a particular viewpoint I'm not familiar with and don't quite understand. Can you elaborate a bit on that?
Sure. The story of the Good Samaritan, do you remember that?
I do, yeah.
Well, Samaritans historically were hated by the Jews.
Okay.
The people from Samaria were a low-life, dirty, rotten, pagan, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I didn't equate the Samaritans to being the neighbor of the Jews. I guess if you move out and look at it from a national perspective, then I guess, yes, they're neighbors.
Yeah, otherwise, to me, that's the point of the story, and I thought it was quite clear in the original.
In the original what? In the original article or in the original...
Oh, the original language.
So you believe that when Jesus is referring to neighbor, treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated, he wasn't just talking about the guy who lives next door to you.
Nope.
He was talking about the guy in the next country and the next country after that and so on and so forth.
I think what he's talking about is he's elaborating on the whole thing of love your enemies. And Samaritans were really, while not enemies, they were really, the Samaritan woman in the story, the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan, you know. I mean, they're mixed blood.
Well, actually, from what I understand about the Samaritans is that, or the Samarians, sorry, was that instead of worshiping in Jerusalem, they worshipped at Mount Horeb or something like that. They had their own mountain in which they worshipped, and that's what separated them from the Jews. In essence, they were Jews. The only difference is that they rejected the insistence that you must make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and the temple to entreat God. And that really was the core difference between the two. Blood-wise, they were the same people. They used the same books, the same teaching. They just rejected the place of worship, so to speak.
Okay, I won't argue.
Anyway, so thanks for the clarification, and I guess it does make a difference, because usually if we have conflicts, and it's germane to your whole story, because if we have conflict, it's not usually a bloody conflict. It's not usually with the guy who lives next door. It's usually with some other nation or somebody across a boundary that we can perceive as being dramatically different than us.
Yep.
Yeah, it would appear that the United States is quite active in that process, and me being Canadian, I'd have to say that Canadians are active in that process too, because we have soldiers in Afghanistan as well.
Yep.
So just pointing the finger at saying you nasty Americans who don't follow the words of Christ, I guess we'd have to point our fingers at most of the Western nations of the world, wouldn't we?
Well, looks that way to me.
Yeah, so an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Why do you think that people have forgotten that, and why do you think that the pastors feel that that's an important...
I don't think anybody's forgotten it. I think that's some loony bin who has got his head up his rear into the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying, get it out of there. He said, that's what it was said back then. It was, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Knock it off. Love your enemies.
Yeah.
Do good for those who abuse you. Somebody hits you up one side of the face, turn it other so they get a good aim at the other side.
Aren't there other words of Jesus where he refers to fighting in war? I mean, doesn't Jesus also say, I came to bring the sword?
He said that once, yep.
Doesn't he also say in certain books that those who don't believe or follow the law or different things like that, are they've got a place reserved for them, and that's that place is, well, in the Bible translates it to hell. I don't know if that's the exact place, but burning fire.
He's a garbage dump.
Well, I realize that. So the point being what? Doesn't Jesus talk about those sort of things?
Well, why don't you write a corrective article, Ryan?
That's not my point. I'm asking you a question. Doesn't he say that, and how does that line up with what you're saying he's saying here? I mean, because he's saying two things. Is he confused? What's going on?
I'm not quoting the same quote you are, that's all. That doesn't make it. What I quoted does not negate what you're quoting. How's that?
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I guess I'd have to go find out what he was talking about and look in context, wouldn't I?
Well, that would help.
It would help. But you've provided us with the context already, so I don't have to worry about that for the ones that you provided, right?
Let's hope. Right.
Let's hope. Otherwise, you're going to get hundreds of emails correcting you?
Never fails.
From Pastor so-and-so and Minister so-and-so?
That comes so rare anymore. Somebody has to stumble onto our website to do that.
Sure, they have to be looking for you anti-Christians.
Yeah, exactly.
Brad, I'm in full agreement with what you have to say. And
is it going to be another short podcast?
It is, because I don't believe that violence is an answer to any problem. I teach that to my children, and I sure work hard at controlling my temper and not jumping out of my car and thumping some idiot who just cut me off. So, I'm like you. I'm trapped in this human body bag, well, by choice, and I struggle with fulfilling the teachings of Jesus. Especially the ones that you mentioned here. Because as a kid, I found it a lot easier to just go off and thump someone when they made me angry.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, well, and I think that most people are guilty of that. I believe what the problem is that emotions dominate. And once an emotion takes over, it seems that the teachings of Jesus go out the window because the emotion is far more powerful.
Yep.
Unless, of course, you've seen somebody be killed. I think that would change your emotional response. What do you think?
Well, I've seen it. I hope I never have to see it again.
Well, there you go. That's what makes it easier for you to control your temper and not get out. And what is it you say here? Oh, I love this one. If you slap me, my reflexes take over. Granted, after I have knocked you down and then kicked you, I'm really sorry that I blew it again. Just one more failure. Blew it again? Does that mean that that's what you typically do if somebody swats you?
Well, it's been a long time since somebody slapped me in the face. But I do know that even when somebody I love gives me a pointed insult because they're angry with me, instead of turning the other cheek, I come back with a retort.
Guilty. Not so easy to be like Martin Luther and Mohandas Gandhi.
Yep.
Now that we've had our confession time, what do we do? What can we do to follow these instructions? Do you have any recommendations for a tool to help guys like you and me to not be so emotional in our responses and hurtful, whether it be verbal or physical?
Gee, you want to make this a practical exercise? I'm just trying to open people's eyes to an alternative, and I'm trying to blast the Christian system. It's interesting, is so did Gandhi. I mean, Gandhi thought Christianity was a bunch of bull, but he sure revered Jesus.
So then the practical application is something we're going to have to work out on our own. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's what you said.
Okay, well, what would you say then?
I'm not dealing with it.
Okay, if you don't offer some assistance, you know, it's kind of like, what was that other thing that Jesus said? You would travel 1,000 miles for a convert and then load him up with 1,000 things to carry to weigh him down so he can't even move towards where he has to go? I mean, is that what you're...
Yeah.
You Pharisee.
Yeah.
Well, okay, if you don't have a solution, hopefully it'll come up. And how's this for a solution? Go ask Dad.
Well, what do you know? Out of the mouth of the publisher.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to practice that. So I guess each individual has to work out his own methodology for overcoming that weakness. And with that, I'll say thanks, Brad. I'm sure we're going to get lots of feedback about this latest article.
You think so? Huh? I've been getting some good feedback lately.
Well, good feedback is still feedback. So I believe we'll get people who are going to agree wholeheartedly, and we'll get others who will go, there you go again, you crazy bum.
Yeah, old buzzard.
Okay, Brad, thanks very much. I look forward to part 7.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it per usual.